welcome to episode 49 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Robin, and Andy. If you're a longtime listener, you might remember episode 10 and 21 when we discussed the great state of Alaska and sat down and talked with Anchorage local Amy Newman. Sandy recently returned from her trip where she was a guest of Visit Anchorage, the local tourism board. She packed a lot of activities into the 4 days she was there and came home with a better understanding of just how large and impressive the state is and how there is truly something for everyone. She's eager to help you find your Alaska. So let's get started. So, Sandy, what do you mean by finding your Alaska?
I love this phrase. So we were escorted around by a tour company called Salmonberry Tours. And the girl that was driving us around was just phenomenal. She told us so much about the history of everything as we were going. But one of the things that was so cool was she's like, you know, there's really something in Alaska for everyone. If you go around, there were 7 agents on this trip. And if you went around and asked everybody what they thought of when they thought of Alaska, everyone said something different.
Really?
Yeah. Some people it was cruise. Some people it was the dog sleds. I wanted to see whales. You know, I mean, so there was just something different for everybody. And you can do it. You can do everything, you know. So I thought that was just such a cool, it was funny too, because we're like, oh, this is the best marketing slogan ever, and we're all going to go home and do this. And then later on, somebody picked up a magazine, and it was on the front of it, Finding Your Alaska, and we're like, ah, we didn't invent that. Yeah.
So was your tour guide local? Because that was one thing that Amy mentioned, was sometimes you get like college kids who have just arrived in Alaska. Did you have a local tour guide?
Yeah, she was from Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
but it's another cold place.
But she had lived there for like 10 years and married a guy from Alaska, and they started this tour company. And so one of the cool things is they, you know, have smaller group tours. So they can really tailor it to, you know, whatever it is you want to do. If you want to go fishing and then go see a glacier, they can make that happen, you know. So that was really cool. Yeah, she was great. But, you know Amy said that about, like, the college kids. But one of the cool things I learned is that in the high schools, they have, like, the high school kids can get credit for going and working in the tourism places. So, for example, we were on the Alaska Railroad for a little while, and all the people working it were kids. They were all high school kids. And they all could spout, you know, like what it was we were passing, and they told corny train jokes. And, you know, it was really cool. I was like, these are really awesome kids.
Sounds like they're well-versed in the travel industry.
It's
critical.
It's a tight-knit community of travel people there, because every time we would go to, like, a resort or a tour or something like that, they all knew each other. They'd known each other for a while. They worked at other resorts together, you know. So I don't know if it was just that we were, like, showcased that industry, which probably is some of it, but it was really cool. I liked seeing the kids having a job like that, you know. Like, I think I would prefer my kid to have a job like that rather than, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with, like, McDonald's or something. He'll probably end up doing stuff like that too, but I just thought it was really cool. And they had a lot of pride, too, in the state.
Yeah, well, and you're getting involved with history and, local.
Yeah.
And your local community and selling it to other people. Mm-hmm. As well.
And they come back, too. Yeah, they leave for college and they come back. A lot of, you know, most of the people I talked to did that.
How long did it take you to get there?
Oh, my gosh. That was the longest plane ride I've ever been on. I flew from Atlanta. I switched planes in Atlanta and went straight to Anchorage, and it was like an 8-hour flight. So for me, that was long, you know, and you know how,
it's
like,
about the same length as a transatlantic one,
yeah,
two.
But I haven't done that, so yeah, the furthest I've done
is a long time,
yeah, the furthest I've done is like LA, you know, so it was longer than that. And you know, they have the picture or the little TV screens in the seat, and you can see your, like, how far you're gone and stuff. And just, I was like, man, we're still over Canada. You know, it's really taken
Canada's
a long
a big
time.
Place.
Yeah, Canada's huge too,
it
right?
Is,
yeah. Well, and the flight from Anchorage to, like, Seattle was like 3 hours, mm-hmm. you know? So if you think about that, that's very far. So
Sandy, walk us through kind of your itinerary. You're out there about 4 days. What could you do?
Oh, it was so cool. So the first night we stayed, I got in a day earlier than all the other agents. Because if I hadn't, I would have missed the welcome dinner the next day. So yeah, I wasn't going to miss that. So I got in a day early, and when I got there, it felt like it was like 11 to me, but it was only like 7 there. And the sun didn't set for a few more. I mean, it was probably like 10 o'clock before the sun set because it was August. So I stayed at Lake Hood, which is the largest, seaplane port in the world, which was really cool. And, you know, learned a lot of history. We did the next day I went downtown to Anchorage a little bit and kind of tooled around and visited a hotel there, and one of the oldest ones in Anchorage. But then we did a Segway tour around Lake Hood, and that was really cool because
Sandy loves Segway tours.
I'm like, what, Segway?
Totally nerds out about these.
Yeah,
things.
I know. There were two other agents there by then.
And a Segway tour around Lake Hood. I mean, was this like hugging the water's edge?
Well, it was kind of.
It conjures up images of to me.
Yeah, kind of. You know, one of the other agents was like, "We're not really going to be on the road, are we?" And they're like, "Yeah, you kind of are. You know, just watch out for cars." And we had to watch out for planes too. Like, planes were landing and driving down the runway road, you know, because it's so.
Wait, seriously, runway/road?
Yeah. I know. It was amazing.
So awesome.
And the stop signs were like really low. And it's like,
we
have a stop sign.
Travel insurance for that trip.
Yeah, I know. Well, and she's
what
like,
happened to you? I got squished by a plane.
The stop signs were really low, like below waist level.
On my Segway.
It was cool. But one of the awesome things about that I learned was they have like these slots along Lake Hood where you can park your plane, you know, if you have, but the waiting list is like 20 years long to get one of those slots because you can pass them down to your kids and stuff. So people keep them in the family. And so if you don't have one of those, you have to get like the specially made weird truck that will like drive up and get the plane out of the water and bring it out. Or you could have a plane that can land on water or land, which were the ones that were driving down the road. But, yeah, so it was pretty cool. And I learned that you could get your pilot's license at 15 when you're there, but you can't drive till you're 16, which is really cool.
Wow.
I know. I'm like, wow.
That just put things in perspective.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Very, very.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, exposure as a kid. I love that show.
Yeah.
And it's cast of characters. Okay, it's fictitious, but it's, you know, it strikes me that just it's a different type of person up in Alaska, different breed.
I got the feeling that if anything went down in the lower 48 and you could make it to Alaska and befriend those people, you'd be okay.
Yeah. It's your safe haven.
Yeah, they know how to survive. Yeah.
At the end of the world.
It's a survival.
So you suggest visiting before or after a cruise?
I think I would go to Anchorage first and definitely do a one-way cruise. Don't do a round trip. Because if you do a round trip and you only do the Inside Passage, you're going to miss so much of Alaska. And a lot of people, when they do, like, put a cruise tour on the end, you know, where they do a land portion or do it at the beginning, they go up into Denali National Park. And so, you know, that's the only way to do it is if you add on to your cruise. And
so it's interesting that you say to do it first because, and this is the art of travel, I guess. I've always felt like it's better to do it after, to do anchor. I always recommend a one way, but I think going north makes more sense. And the reason I say that is because I feel like the Inside Passage is sort of an introduction to Alaska. And then once you get up into the land of Alaska, you really get to experience true Alaska. So do you, I mean, you could disagree with me. I'll allow
well,
it.
Well, I haven't done a cruise. So I mean, I haven't done the Alaska cruise. So that could be a good point. But the thing about Anchorage was that, they gave me the sense that Anchorage gets overlooked because people are, you know, have just gotten off a week-long cruise and they're tired and they're just kind of tired, you know, or done or whatever. And, I mean, you can go up into Denali, but you're still, I mean, that's a huge trip in and of itself, you know. So if you want to do Anchorage and stuff around Anchorage, I mean, we did really kitschy stuff like the state fair and things like that. And, you know, there was
that must have been quite a state fair.
Oh, my God. The lumberjack show? Yeah, I know. I totally, Lindsay, we got to go to the lumberjack show at Epcot next month because I want to compare. See, just
you're
how
gonna be so disappointed.
They do some cool stuff. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Well, it was pretty corny.
Yeah, you really saw that. So.
Well, yeah, but it was corny.
Did you eat anything awesome at the Alaska State Fair?
So I had some spinach bread, which was good. The girls that were our tour guides were telling us they knew the people who had the spinach bread truck, and they were from Talkeetna, which is the town that your show is based on, Andy. But so that was pretty good. And then I saw oysters from Prince William Sound, and I had to try those because I am all about some oysters.
And how were they compared to Murrell's Inlet?
They were really good. It took about two before I realized they were raw and not just cold. but it was really cool. They were so different. I mean, because if you're on the southeast coast of, you know, America, and you get oysters, a lot of times you're going to get, like, one oyster in, you know, not a cluster. But if you're in South Carolina and you're in Murrell's Inlet, you're going to get clusters that you dig out of the mud, and it's very different. I think they taste very different. But these from Prince William Sound were, like, one in a shell. And when I told the guy how we dug for them, he's like, no, we just go pick them up. They're just, you know, laying there. Yeah. But they were good. They were real salty and yeah, they were good. Yeah, I liked them. I would definitely eat. I don't know. I had like half a dozen. I don't think I could eat very much more than that though. I mean, I can do an oyster roast all night long, but it's a lot of work.
Well, to pry open a lot clusters. Of them are smaller too, right?
Yeah.
Because you've got those clusters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you sample any other typical sort of Alaskan fare while you were there?
Well, I ate a lot of salmon. Lots and lots of salmon. I did try a reindeer sausage, which I don't feel like I need to do that again.
Been there, done there.
Yeah. I had the beer, the local beer a lot. They have three, there's a Seward Brewery, there's a Glacier Brew House, and there's Denali Brewery. So I had beer from all of those. Those were pretty good. Yeah, a lot of salmon. I feel like I was eating salmon like every day. It was good though.
Yeah, I was gonna say it tastes really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah, and then the person who was doing our tours gave us all a little jar of salmon berry jam because it really is a berry called a salmon berry, and so we got the jam to take home, and that was really good too. So, yeah. I got an ulu knife, which is a Native Alaskan
knife.
So we've touched on food and drink, but what about the wildlife? What did you see?
So we were driving from Anchorage.
Did you see any alligators?
No, I didn't see any alligators.
Dang it.
Well, we were driving from Anchorage down to Seward.
You should have just said yes.
I would have believed you. I don't know where alligators are.
Totally. It's not alligators. It's definitely warm enough there.
So an Alaska thing.
Yeah. We saw beluga whales driving down the Seward Highway. We didn't see any wild bears, but we stopped at the Wildlife Conservation Center, and that was really cool. And you can get, they built like this walkway over the habitat for the bears, so you can get pretty close, you know, and they don't look like they'd be mean, you know, they look kind of
snuggly. I'm sure you could have gone and pet one.
I'm sure I could have just hugged that bear. But I didn't see, I missed the moose.
It was probably mutual.
I know. It was funny because they did have moose. I missed the moose, though. I didn't see them when we were driving in, and the day that we were there was really windy, so we didn't get out and walk all around it. We drove through and then kind of walked to certain parts. So the next day when we were coming back from Seward, we stopped again, and that's when I got my selfie with the moose. And
I got a
cabbage
selfie. Can we use
the
moose selfie as our lead in for this? All right.
Yeah,
so on the website.
we'll put that picture up. Yeah. It was great. It was, it was really neat. And they had, you know, like wood bison and caribou and stuff like that. And it's cool because they rehabilitate animals, and if they're, you know, not able to be released back into the wild, they'll just stay there their whole lives, and they take good care of them. So, yeah, very cool.
So how long would you recommend to spend out there?
I think, so when I was on my way there, people were chatting me up the entire way because they were so excited to be going, like each airport, on the plane, in the hotel the first night, you know, so I think, depending on your Alaska, you know, like the guy sitting next to me on the plane was there for his second time with his buddies doing like a fishing cabin trip, you know, and I think they were staying like a week. And then I met someone else who was like coming back from their cruise tour, and they had cruised and stuff. But Anchorage, I mean, I think 4 days in Anchorage was enough to really, we didn't go into Denali, so I would have liked to have gone up there. I would have done a couple more days of that, but But it was enough to see pretty much everything around us. And then, although we did jam pack it, I don't know if that would be much of a vacation for some people. But I'd say like...
Well, 4 days is kind of short to go when you're going so far. I mean, yeah. That's...
No, I mean, I'm saying if you're doing it on the end of a cruise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean... But I will say this too. I mean, you know, people think Alaska is such a big bucket list, and it is far, and it is not cheap. But I don't think it should be a once in a lifetime trip. You know, like I definitely am going back, and it would that is not going to be my only trip there. So
I think fishermen. I mean, my brother-in-law who lives on the West Coast just went fishing there, had like an amazing fishing trip, and he's somebody who goes fishing in like Canada, and like they take serious fishing trips where they go.
Yeah.
And he really got a lot of it. And then you just had a client who went fishing there and was really sort of blown away by
planned her honeymoon around it because they wanted to fish for salmon, and they did that like in the different ports. Like, you know, her pictures in Juneau or them standing in the middle of the river.
And they were really successful at it too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't like maybe we'll catch some fish. They had a really good time.
So. Yeah. Yeah, they did. I have to talk to her about her Anchorage part, but, yeah, so I think, you know, a few days, it depends on your Alaska. It depends on what you want to see when you're up there, because a lot of the stuff we did, you could do as excursions on your cruise too. Like we saw some Iditarod training camp dogs, we did a glacier tour, which didn't you do that on your cruise?
Oh yeah, you can definitely do that on a cruise.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, and we did like a wildlife cruise where we were hoping to see some whales, but it was really choppy and windy that day. We didn't see any, but it was still nice, you know. We saw some sea lions basking on the rocks.
So while we're talking about cruising, and I want to talk about wildlife more, but while we're talking about cruising, can you talk a little bit about the distance? Because I think that's something people don't always know. They get off the cruise ship thinking they're in Anchorage. So can you talk a little bit about that and where you are versus where you need to get?
So if you are in Seward, you're about an hour from Anchorage, which is not that bad. And that's where most of the cruise ships go. If you're on Princess, you're probably going to go to Whittier, which there is nothing in Whittier. We did...
apologies to the people of Whittier.
They're not there. Nobody there. No.
All four of you. Sorry.
I mean, it was really... that. So the day they just wanted us to get a taste of the railroad and to see Whittier. And so we stopped at this really small train depot right close to the conservation center. And whenever the train stopped and there was like a little mix up with our tickets and they didn't realize we were getting on the train, but they're like, okay, well come on, but we're not going to put the step down. So we had to run up and like jump onto the train. Thank God it wasn't moving, but I was not the youngest person on the train. So I was like a little bit worried about the people behind me, but they all managed to get on the train.
You were the youngest person on the trip.
Well, maybe I was. Yeah. Okay. I have to think about that. But no, I mean, I was definitely, there were some older than me. But, well, the girls that worked there were all younger than me for sure. But, so we get on the train and the little part, there's like a little leg that goes to Whittier once a day and then comes back to the regular thing. And then it goes all the way down to Seward. It goes up to Anchorage. And so, that part was pretty empty and we only had like 20 minutes in Whittier, but I took pictures of there was no depot. It was like you get out on the road and there's like this tent over it just in case it rains, I guess. But there was one hotel that looked kind of nice. So if you were going to get on there, I guess you could. But Seward was a really cool town. Seward has the Sea Life Center, and that's where we took our Kenai National Fjords tour from, the boat tour. So there's a lot to do. There's a brewery down there, which was too busy for us to even get in because we didn't have a lot of time. But the whole like main strip of shops is like shop, art gallery, bar, shop, bar. You know, like so it was really cool. It was
our kind of place.
Yeah, I know. I totally could have hung out there. We did actually spend the night not in downtown Seward, but we were at this lodge really close to there, and it was really cool. So. And there's a lot of if you're into like hiking, kayaking, you know, that kind of thing, that's a really good place to go. There's a lot you can access from there, hiking on glaciers and things like that. So.
Okay, I have a question. I see that you visited the Alyeska Resort. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
I've had clients go there and they raved about it.
Yes.
How did you like it?
I loved it. This is where, I wish Amy was on this episode because this would have been Amy's thing. But they were saying that... if you are on like the celebrity cruise tour, if you're Adventures by Disney, talk, you know, these other tour companies, this is where you stay for part of your thing. So it's very nice. It's got an indoor pool that has like this big window that looks up on the mountain. You can take this tram up to the top of the mountain, where there's like a restaurant and stuff, but you can also hike up. So you can see people hiking up. You can put your bike on a ski lift and they'll take your bike up to the top. So there's like bike trails up there and stuff. Yeah, it is cool. And yeah, it was a really, and then it's funny because you can hike up, like you can't stay there with a dog, but I guess people come there to do the hike. And so they'll go up to the top of the mountain with their dog and then they'll come down on the tram and they have to put the dogs in these, you know, kennels and stuff, like the big kennel. And I'm like, I guess everybody just has a big dog because my dog would look ridiculous in this kennel. You know? But I didn't really see any little dogs there.
I don't know how to tell you this, but chihuahuas kind of look ridiculous anyway.
I know. I'm like, I would just put her in my purse. No one would know.
Better headings for the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah, Alyeska was nice though. I was actually, while I was there, thinking about maybe if I could get a running group together, because there's a couple of half marathons and marathons they do up there in Anchorage. And one of them is called the Midnight Sun, and they do it like in the middle of the night when it's still light out. But I thought that would be cool, and then go down, you know, like maybe go to Seward, or maybe like take a couple of days in Alyeska and do some hiking or scenery.
So you were there in early September. I'm asking this for Amy because she would ask this question. What was the weather like?
I was actually there in late August.
Okay.
So like the 28th, 29th. It was chilly. They told us to bring layers, and I kind of thought I was bringing too much, but I was not. It was.
So were there times of day you were wearing short sleeves, or were you always in some sort of
layer? I did not wear short sleeves the whole time. Okay. I was there. And when I was in downtown Anchorage, that was probably the most comfortable because it was not really windy and the sun would be shining. But like when we went out to this area called Kinnick River Lodge, that's where we did our glacier tour from, it was cold. I mean, you know, I was wearing like this really thick running shirt that I have that's kind of fuzzy on the inside, with a running jacket over it, with a windbreaker over that, with gloves, with hat. You know, I mean, it was cold. And you were out on ice and stuff, so, mm-hmm. You know. But getting back to where you were saying about the vastness of it, that's when I really realized how mm-hmm. big it was. Because we'd be flying past this mountain and they'd be like, oh, look at the sheep over there. And I couldn't even see them. They were like dots, you know? And then they're like, oh, we're going like 100 miles an hour. And, you know, I'm like, who's going 100 miles an hour? We can't be going that fast, you know? So it was just vast, enormous. It was really awesome.
Well, that is our show for this week, guys. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at Outlander Travel Pod. Sorry.
Try again.
Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Outlander Travel Podcast, or just search for Flyaway, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would really love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Robin, Andy, and Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.